The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
Hello there.
You want the bad news?
Roger, roger.
The Force, it's calling to you.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
That's not how the Force works.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
This is madness.
Let the past die. Kill it.
It's a trap!
Fulfill your destiny.
No!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the TSW Roundtable. I am your host, Robert Cast, and again, we're switching it up. We're going to take a little break from our retrospective. We have The Empire Strikes Back coming up, and we're really chomping at the bit to get that done, but we're actually starting something new. It's called the Star Wars Commonwealth One-on-One. And basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to just have one-on-one conversations with showrunners from around the Star Wars Commonwealth so you, the listener, can get to know our network. So say if you're a big fan of this show and TSW and maybe, yeah, you're listening to Tumbling Saber, well, we're going to introduce you to a lot more other shows and vice versa. If you're listening to Generation X-Wing and I get a chance to talk with Rob Williams and then, hey, you might get turned on the Tumbling Saber or San Diego Sabres and who knows. So, but anyway, that's the point of this show. So today, I am lucky enough to have one of the co-hosts of a Star Wars Commonwealth show from the Skyhoppers. It's Ash. Say hi to everybody, Ash.
Hello there. That's my bad Ewan McGregor impersonation.
And again, you've been on a few retrospectives with me, and this is not your first time on the roundtable, but I had to kind of taper my... I was going to intro the show like, welcome, listeners. But... I'll save that.
You got to do a stupid voice like Ben does.
Yes.
That's the way. And then, yeah.
Ben, yeah. Obviously, for those not in the know, is your co-host. And it's yes. The two of you. You have occasional extra third chair once in a while.
Once in a while, yeah. Our most recent episode, I'm not sure when this will go out, but our most recent episode as of recording this, we had our good friend Alexandra on the show, who's kind of, she's kind of the honorary third. Right. Member of the Skyhoppers podcast, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Hey, every podcast needs that. And you know what? It spices up the show. I know Roman and I do a weekly show, the Roman Potting Cast, and it's not Star Wars related, but once in a while, we have the showrunner for TSW, Rob Wade. He's our UK correspondent. And he comes in once in a while and kind of mixes it up and spices it up. So it's a good time. And it's actually not that podcasting becomes mundane, but it is
nice, especially because we've been doing our show every week for 2 years. We have yet to miss a week.
Excellent.
And there's a certain aspect of it where you kind of get into the pattern of doing it. You know, it becomes routine. Yep. So mixing up every once in a while is actually a really great way to kind of it gets boring or mundane or anything like that, but to mix it up a little bit, make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. And your listeners, it hits their ear a little different. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. Instead of, again, your listeners falling into a routine or something. But we should actually get right into it. So first question I'm going to ask for those not in the know, can you talk about your show, what it is, what the name and everything else and what you do?
So I'm from the Skyhoppers podcast based off of the T-16 Skyhopper that Luke shot Womp Rats with. And we're a general Star Wars discussion podcast. We cover anything and everything from the Star Wars universe, everything from obscure comics that came out in the 90s to Rebels, to the new movies, to books, to just about anything under the sun. Nothing's off limits for us. My co-host name is Ben. And yeah, we do the show. It comes out every Friday. We're part of this lovely network. And yeah, it's just kind of a general Star Wars discussion show with many a tangent about many Star Wars related things.
Right. And you guys come at it at a pretty different angle, obviously, because you are quite a bit, but you're about 20 years my junior. So you guys, it's neat to see it's almost a generational thing where you see, okay, you guys leaped into Star Wars around the prequel area, and but your knowledge of Legends is, I don't know if it's because when most of Legends came out, I was adulting at that time, so I didn't have time to delve into it, but you guys have such a firm grasp and a huge wealth of knowledge right at your fingertips and without using Wikipedia. Like, it's amazing.
Well, I can't speak for Ben for how he got introduced to Legends, but I know for myself it was the time when I was really getting into Star Wars. I was about 14 years old, and there wasn't the Disney deal. There wasn't anything. There wasn't the prospect of future Star Wars movies at that time. So the only thing was Legends. And I remember a friend told me, I believe the way I got introduced to it, I read the books when I was a kid, when I was about 10 years old. I read Heir to the Empire, Shadows of the Empire, and The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Of course.
Which, if anybody's read those books, it's a miracle. Not Heir to the Empire, but Shadows and Courtship. It's a wonder I'm still a Star Wars fan. But then my friend introduced me to Mara, didn't introduce me to Mara Jade, but let me know more about Mara Jade. And for those of you familiar with Legends, that's Luke Skywalker's wife. And there was this whole series of books about X-Wing pilots and all of these, like the New Jedi Order and all this amazing stuff. And I was like, wow, I have to read these. So that's kind of how I got into that.
Fantastic. And and for those not that do not know, I have also read Shadows of the Empire. And Ash, we're on a Zoom conference call now, so you can see my bookshelf behind me. It's the one with the stink lines above it. You could probably see it. It's just, I can't, I'm not going to throw it out, obviously, but wow, is that even...
I should throw mine out because every couple of years I'm like, maybe it'll be better this time. And I try to reread it. And every time I'm disappointed.
Yeah. And again, this isn't a book club podcast or a Star Wars book report. That book is, whew, wow. Like I've read some awesome Legends books, but that one is just, it's cringeworthy. If you don't know, I'm sure you guys have a look up the Skyhoppers. You guys had lots of discussion on that.
Yeah, actually, we did Shadows of the Empire a few weeks ago.
There you go. So check it out. Go to Skyhoppers. Look back through the feed. You'll see it. Shadows of the Empire. I'm sure it has some cringeworthy title.
And some nonsense title.
Yes,
yeah.
But yeah, you'll figure it out. So, So this is for me listening to your show. I love your show. It gives, if anything, it gives me. Pardon the Star Wars pun, but hope, because I see it's like you guys are that much younger than me, and you don't need that, whoa, like, oh, I saw it in the theater, or some people say, well, I saw it at the drive-in, blah, blah, blah. You know, those people, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's just, you love Star Wars, and you fell into it even without Disney behind it. You're just kind of, oh, here it is, and it's almost like you're carrying the torch. You know, like Star Wars will, of course, now that it's hugely corporate, they'll be pumping out something for Star Wars. You mean whether it's comics, books, they may take a 10-year break on the saga, but you know it's coming back. So it just gives me hope to know that, oh, wow, there's another generation carrying the torch of just loving Star Wars. And it not being just this thing that, you know, like it's, to compare it, it's almost like if you see Marvel fan, there's lots of Marvel fans out now, but they couldn't tell you anything outside of the movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, and then that's with you guys, you're not just movie fans of Star Wars. And some of the movies you haven't liked so much, but either way, but you're true, genuine fans of the whole genre.
Yeah. I think I feel the same way about people who are even younger than us. The fact that there's so many people from so many different walks of life and different age ranges that, you really can't, and Star Wars has become a part of their lives. It's a part of my life in a not insignificant way. And to see the kind of the torch be passed down, even from people younger than me, it makes me really happy that this franchise, long after I'm gone, is probably still going to be around, rather. So, yeah, it makes me happy.
Yeah, exactly. So you're experiencing like what people my age experienced with people your age when the prequels came out, you're now experiencing with the saga. Trilogy now, like you're seeing this whole, it's this trickle down effect. So it's awesome. And we love your show. And that's why obviously you're excellent contributors to the network. And it's really, 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 actually we met each other in person in Orlando. Sorry, I've been everywhere the last little while. So, and I know we're going to Chicago coming up. And of course, we have this big Chili's meetup thing, but that might throw a wrench in Chicago because Ben was looking up where's the closest Chili's for our Commonwealth meetup.
The fact that it has been co-opted from just like a celebration. We went to Chili's like twice at Celebration. Yes. And that's where the joke came from.
Yeah.
The fact that it's been co-opted into a Skyhopper's inside joke says a lot about our show, I think.
Yeah. And basically, the only reason why it was literally next door to Mark and I went down to Orlando and it was next door to our hotel. And Chili's is one of those, you're not going to offend anybody with it. And we don't have any in Canada. So for me, it's like, oh, I only go to Chili's once a year if I'm in the States, you know, so it doesn't bother me. And it's one of those, it's kind of like an Olive Garden type restaurant.
It was there. Yeah.
It's not like, oh, let's grab some sushi. And it's like, oh, well, one person might not like that. Or let's grab this. Or it was very vanilla. But and Chili's, please, we're not putting Chili's down. We're huge supporters, obviously. We're desperately trying to figure out how to get to a Chili's location when we get to Chicago. We'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll
find a way.
We'll find a way. And it's amazing that it's become a thing now where it's like, we have to. Why do you have to? Well, it just is now. Yes, exactly. It's like having you happen to wear this your favorite Star Wars shirt to two of the movies. Now you have to wear them to all of them. It's one of those things. Exactly, just has to be. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I'm going to go on to my next question then. Ash, why Star Wars? I know it's a broad question, but I want to keep it without going too crazy. But yeah, like it's just like there's so many, especially like in the 2000s, we've had so many things. Like there's the Marvel, and you can love them all, obviously. But the Marvel, the Lord of the Rings, we've had the Harry Potter. There's been so many different like things going on that you can just dive into. Why Star Wars?
I would say it probably, if I'm being honest with myself, it probably has a lot to do with nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Is the reason I have such an attachment to it. I was introduced to Star Wars when I was 3 years old by my dad. And so I have fun. And I watched it. I have distinct memories of going to see The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith with my dad and having those experiences. So it would be naive of me to say that doesn't have something to do with it. But as I get older, the reason I stick with Star Wars, I think, is the characters.
Yeah.
Because more than just about any other franchise, the only other example I can think is Marvel, who has this kind of level of complexity and depth with their characters and characters that I relate to on a very personal level. Star Wars has always had fantastic characters that are inspirations or that are like me or that are what I aspire to be. We were just talking about Jyn Erso a couple weeks ago, and Jyn Erso was something that I saw in 2016, and that really, really reinvigorated my love of Star Wars in a way that it hadn't in a couple of years. Even after The Force Awakens and all that stuff, like Rogue One was the thing that got me to be like, I am obsessed with Star Wars again.
Yeah.
So I think at the core of it, it's the characters, but it's also the hopefulness in it.
Yep.
Because Star Wars is something, as somebody who has struggled with mental health and stuff like that, having something that's so unironically hopeful. Like I actually have hope in Erebesh tattooed on my arm.
Excellent.
I think that like the core theme of what Star Wars is about hope and perseverance, even when the chips are completely stacked against you, I think has really resonated with me as an adult.
Absolutely. And I think and it's one of those things you could have on in the background. If you're having, it sounds silly, but if you're listening to, this is a very niche show on a niche podcast on a niche network. Like it's kind of like this is, if you're listening to this, you're diehard. Like, oh, I want to hear what Rob and Ash have to say because who's Rob Cast? He's just this guy that wormed his way on the TSW somehow. But anyway, so
what
here
is Skyhopper?
It's like, okay, well, here we go. We're listening to this now. So I get what you're saying, and it can be relatable to anybody. Force Awakens, Han, his love for Ben. Like, I get it. You mean mm-hmm. when he went that scene when they're on the catwalk and he his kid stabs him and he literally just touches his face and it, like totally get it. It's totally and it's but then again, I'm a dad, you know, like
I think that's the wonderful thing about Star Wars. I was talking to somebody and we were talking again about Jyn Erso, and it got me thinking about how there's a Star Wars character for everybody, essentially.
Yeah.
There's the Jyn Erso, there's the Han Solo, there's Harrison Dula, there's anything
yes.
for anybody to kind of pick a point and connect with. And I think that's the wonderful thing about this franchise and why it has maintained relevancy and has, you know, resonated with so many people.
Of course. And again, so many different settings on different planets. Like I posted a picture of me. I live just west of Toronto in Canada. And I posted a picture of me just shoveling the driveway or something like on Instagram or somewhere. And somebody was like, ooh, Rob Cass, oh, look at Hoth cosplay. No, just Canadian. But whatever. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I live in... probably the closest thing to Tatooine you'll ever see, in the States at least.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, anybody can relate to anything in Star Wars. So, yeah, I get it. And nostalgia obviously is huge for everybody. That's what brought everybody back with the Disney takeover. That was the aim. And now we're branching out and seeing other stuff. It's going to keep giving. And it's great. And you don't have to like everything, too. People get so... Oh, if you don't like it all, well, then you're not a fan. Well, no, you can be a fan. If you can know, oh, if there's Star Wars, what, there's more? Yeah, there's more than one film. Like, you know,
I've made no secret on my show about how much I don't like Solo, but I think I would never discredit the people who do love Solo. I think it's just a personal preference thing. Yeah. And I know a lot of people who don't like Rogue One, and Rogue One's my favorite Star Wars movie. So yeah, I think that's the best thing about Star Wars is that there's something for everyone. That was one of the best things about Legends too. You had romance adventures with Tatooine Ghost and like thrillers with Heir to the Empire and action stories, and you know, they ran the gamut really. So
and that's the great thing about your podcast, The Skyhoppers, because you and Ben both genuinely love Star Wars, but you're not afraid to be critical when it comes to your own personal opinion. We had a good giggle about some of the novels. You're not a huge fan of the Solo movie, or is there's different things that you guys don't... Ben, he's a Star Wars apologist.
I'm definitely the more critical of...
Yes, exactly. You have to be. You're kind of that... You're not like the anti-Star Wars, and you're not like this to and fro, but you have a nice, genuine mix of love, but yet looking at it pragmatically and thinking, okay, this wasn't for me.
For me personally, I think you almost have to with a lot of this stuff, because I'm not really willing to give it a pass if it's bad, which is exactly how I felt about Solo. That's kind of irrelevant, but I think it's really important, and I think it's kind of dangerous that the Star Wars community has kind of equated negativity or criticism with toxicity. Yep. And... But I think in order for the franchise to be held to a higher standard, people have to complain if something isn't good. So that's kind of where I come at. I think you have to be critical about some things if it's justifiably so. Being critical before you even see something, like with Resistance or whatever. Resistance may be bad. It may be amazing. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, sorry. I don't know if I actually made a point there.
No, you did. Yeah. You have to. You have to look at it objectively sometimes. That same thing, Tim from the Nerd Room. He and I do the TSW comic show once a month, and I have a standing orders with my comic book guy, pull everything Star Wars, and I have since the Disney takeover. So even if something totally horrible comes out, I'm pulling it, because I'm a completionist, and I have to. That's why I don't get into the Black Series or the statues or this and that. Like, I have vintage figures, and that's it. Like, I can't, because I have to complete my collections. So there was times during that Poe Dameron run, it just ended on issue 31, and I think I even posted some of the artwork on your Skyhoppers Discord with from Poe Dameron Annual number 2, and Leia actually looked like a potato. That's why I probably called her Lado.
I stopped reading Poe Dameron after like issue 3, because I realized it wasn't for me, because I have the ability to kind of go, I don't like this, I'm not going to buy it anymore. I buy all my comics digital too, so there's not like empty space on my shelf or something.
Poe Dameron, it was, for just a quick recap, it got bad. And then it got good and bad and good and bad, but it really picked up at the end. And just as it was ending, you're like, oh, I wish there was more.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go back and read it and trade. I gave up the Star Wars ongoing too, because I couldn't deal with the art. I was like, this is her. I can't even look at this without getting irrationally angry.
But then again, the last few issues, I think I posted another picture too. It's like Rogue Squadron. They were forming up on it. It's like, oh, come on, yeah, guys. Like, they,
it's like right when I decided to quit, they're like, here, give you Rogue Squadron. Here's something you love.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's
dang
like,
you, Marvel.
They just won't let you go. They just know exactly what to say. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's like a jaded ex that just knows exactly what to text you. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Star Wars is one of those things. You get that text in the middle of the night going, you up? Yes, Star Wars, I'm up. What do you have now? God damn it.
I miss you.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we're veering way off topic here. This is about Skyhoppers, not about texting Star Wars.
It is. I mean, it's probably pretty accurate as to what a Skyhoppers episode is like this episode. So.
All right. Next question. George Lucas, he is the creator. If you could ask him anything in general, it doesn't even have to be about Star Wars, what would it be? Like, if you just... is it maybe something about a character? Could be something about a movie? Could be something even about what he's doing now? It doesn't matter.
This is interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm probably going to wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats going, no, I'd actually say this. I think something I'd be really interested to talk to George Lucas about is how people turned on him.
Right.
After the prequels came out, and how he had a distinct vision of what he wanted to do, and how he kind of reconciled the fact that people didn't like what he was doing, or supposedly didn't like what he was doing, and how he kind of reconciled that in his head.
Yeah. And that's a great question. And it's one of the, this is, if you were asking George Lucas and he was actually answering honestly, because you know, he'll give you a runaround question that's been made up and he's said 1,000 times. I credit him for doing, like, the prequels were his. He paid for them. He did what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I have a tremendous amount of respect for George Lucas for doing what he did, because even when people said they didn't like it, he followed through on what his original plan was. And he made the movies that he wanted to make. Yeah. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And I happen to love the prequels, but I understand that people don't. And I understand why people were mad at him. But I find it really interesting how many people turned on him. And,
well,
I'd love to talk to him about that.
Yeah, and it also makes you wonder, because until Disney did the buyout, people, like I didn't mind the prequels, and I love the OT. It's like, I blame the hate for not getting 7, 8, 9. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, look, you just scared him away. Now he's just doing his animation stuff, which was great, but...
Well, he has that quote, why would I make more Star Wars movie when more Star Wars movies when people tell me they're terrible all the time?
Exactly.
That they want to, like, and they hate me, you know? And I can totally understand where he's coming from.
Of course. Yeah. No, that's a great question. That's awesome. Okay. We're going to... A few softballs here.
Okay.
I'm just going to... Like, a couple of... I mean, word association, but you're not... Simple one-word answers, like, you know, kind of Twitter answers. Or I got a few things here I just want to ask you. When I say New Mexico, what are you going to say?
Green chili.
Green chili? Is that a thing there?
That is a thing. That's our, like, staple.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it like our poutine up here? Is it?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's grown here. It's a big cultural thing. People roast it every year. It's very delicious. It's in every Mexican restaurant ever.
All right. Oh, okay. Another one. Canada.
My brain immediately went to Justin Trudeau for some reason, so take that as you will.
It usually does with most. Yes, he is our poster boy. Literally, he's just one of the... We catch a lot of crap for Justin. It's because he is very, very left wing, but at the same time, he's seeming... I'm assuming easy on the eye. It's one of those things that the... he's better looking than most world leaders.
I distinctly remember the first article I ever read about Justin Trudeau, and it was essentially like, look at Canada's hot new prime minister, and me being
what?
I don't know how old I was, like 19 or something. Right. Click out, oh, like, ooh, and who's Canada's hot new prime minister?
He is what he is. He's a very handsome man.
Yep.
So, I'll leave that on the floor. Okay. What about Star Wars Celebration?
Friends, probably. That was my big association with Star Wars Celebration. It was the first time I'd ever met my co-host in person, which was slightly terrifying, because you never really know how good a friendship you have until you do a trip with somebody.
Yes.
And And it was just, it was meeting people. It was having so much fun just interacting with fans in a way that I'd never really done before. And yeah, that's probably my association with that.
And Celebration is, it's oddly, it feels safe for some reason. Now, I'm not saying go to Celebration, you'll be completely safe. Please, no, take proper precautions. But it's like, yep. I mean, it's one of those things, like I go to Celebration without my family because they would be bored to death. And I know I want to be there. And if there's a panel on at 9 p.m., I don't want to be going out seeing the sights when I could be. That's why I'm really kind of thankful it's in Chicago, because my family wasn't clamoring, oh, can we come to Chicago too, please? In April? Why? Yes, please. You know, I mean, if it was in Anaheim, everybody would be coming. It'd be a very expensive trip and they'd be catching all the Disney stuff while I was at Celebration. So, but it's, yeah, it's one of those things, like even like you have wives and husbands going, yeah, honey, go, whatever, take a trip.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, or it's like, oh, I'm going to meet up people I know online, but I'm going to meet them in this strange city in a different country. And people are like, normally that's not typical wise behavior.
There were moments at Celebration where I was like, what am I doing?
Yes.
Like, this is how internet horror stories start. Yeah. But the great thing, I'm not saying that you guys are terrible or were made me uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. But it is really weird when you say it out loud. I met my friend from the internet and we stayed in a hotel room.
Yes.
To go to a Star Wars convention.
Yes.
And it's... The good news is for Orlando, or not Orlando, for Chicago, I know a lot of the people that I'm staying with and have met them all in person previously.
Fantastic.
At different conventions across the country and stuff. So I'm...
Yeah,
it's really crazy when you say, yeah, I telling my dad about it was actually pretty interesting.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
I remember when I got to Orlando the day after I met Ben, he's like, did Ben turn out to be a serial killer?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking to you, Dad. Yeah, that's one of those things. There you are. You're meeting up with Ben, and the only two other people you know are both also from the internet, and they're 40-year-olds staying at a hotel room across town. Like, it just doesn't make it. It's like, what?
No, and you guys were the best. You guys could not have been nicer and more awesome to meet in person. So,
well, thank you. But while in my defense, I'm Canadian, we have to be, or else I get chastised.
Mark had no excuse.
Yeah, Mark has no excuse. He's a genuinely nice guy. I have a reputation. Actually, it's funny, just a quick side note, I went down to San Diego Comic-Con with my kid Ken, and we stayed at a hotel, and every time we went to, every day, we're there for 5 days, so every time we went to the convention center, we got an Uber there and back. And every Uber, where are you from? Oh, we're from Canada. And of course, we're like, what, 25 miles from Mexico? So we're like real far from Canada. And then all the questions come out. And then my kid's going, I am so tired of hearing you talk about that same speech you have, because the same questions. Oh, so you don't have to pay for anything. Well, no, we do. Well, we have higher taxes and we have less military and we have, it just, choices we make. And but anyway, my kid was heard this speech, but every time I'm telling them, like I'm telling it for the first time, because I could be the only Canadian they meet that day or ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's
my personal favorite thing that happens to me on when I go on trips and the Uber driver's like, hey, where are you from? And I say New Mexico, and they're like, you're from Mexico.
Yeah.
Just people forget that New Mexico is a state.
Yes.
Like it's just kind of there. Yeah,
we get that a lot too. Or we get, oh, you know Bob from Edmonton? Edmonton, that's like 2,000 kilometers away from me. Or that's 3,500 miles, sorry. So, you mean like, I'm like, no, I don't know Bob from Edmonton. So, anyway, okay, we're diverging again. I'm going to, a couple more. Now I'm going to have personalities or characters, kind of word association. Again, not, you don't have to go with one word answers. You can explain, you mean what it is and everything else, but here we go. I got a few of them here for you. Okay. Saga Han Solo. Let's exclude the last movie.
That
includes Force Awakens and OT trilogy Han Solo.
So just like his personality, what I think about him?
Just whatever. Han Solo.
I adore Han Solo for a lot of different reasons, primarily because he tries to be so cool, but he's actually a massive dork, which is the one thing I think Solo actually got right. Which I can kind of relate to. As a kid, I wanted to be, every other little girl I knew wanted to be Leia, but I wanted to be Han just because I thought he was the coolest thing. And as I got older, I noticed that he's actually a massive dork who has no idea what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's Luke has it more together by Jedi roll by the time Jedi rolls around than Han.
Han's just blind and confused and is following his girlfriend. He's like, whatever. This might as well happen to me at this point.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, Harrison Dula.
Amazing, spectacular, wonderful, the best pilot in the galaxy.
Better than Han?
Yeah, I'd say better than Han. I would put chips on the table. Hera's the best pilot in the galaxy. Better than Poe, Han, Anakin. Maybe we're excluding Force users. Yeah, I think she's the best pilot.
Yes. Well, now she has a Force-sensitive co-pilot, so, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
We'll get in. That's another.
She's just an amazing character.
Love her
so much.
Yes. And both of us have met Vanessa Marshall.
That was a very awesome experience.
Yeah. The voice actor, Vanessa, is just as cool as you'd hope she is. So
I remember I met her at Salt Lake Comic Con and I said, because I have no filter when I meet people like that. I said, I'm really worried about season 4. And she put her hand on my arm and says, you don't need to be worried. And then I saw the finale of Rebels and I was like, you lied to me.
You liar. Yeah, that was weird because I remember I think I messaged you a picture. I'm like, hey, I met Vanessa Marshall. And you're like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And like 2 days later, it's like, oh, I'm going to meet Vanessa Marshall. And like, she was in Toronto. And then like literally 3 weeks later, she was in like, where, Salt Lake?
Salt Lake, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Bail Organa.
The best ad in the galaxy. Awesome senator. I am not entirely sure where my love of Bail Organa started. I really can't explain it. I think it's because I just like looking at Jimmy Smith's face, probably.
Right.
And I like the idea of this guy who really did not need to do anything that he did in Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. But he stepped up to the plate and he saved Yoda and Obi-Wan and he helped in a way that he didn't necessarily need to. And then he takes the worst guy in the galaxy's kid.
Yep.
And he's just like, simply because he's like, my wife and I have always wanted a little girl.
Yep.
And I always thought that was like an admirable thing. I thought he was a very cool guy. And I love him in the Clone Wars too.
And literally sacrificed everything. And I don't use literally lightly. That is true definition of everything was sacrificed for his daughter and the cause. So yeah, I get it. I get your love for Bail. I'm not quite... I can, Jimmy Smith, he's a very handsome man, but I don't, not like I turn off TV when he's on, but.
The interesting thing is I really loved him before Rogue One, but then Rogue One came out and I was like, you are the best, Bail Organa. I love you so much.
He sealed it.
I trust her with my life.
Yes. All right. One more. Ben, your co-host.
The nicest guy on the planet, probably, who puts up with my nonsense in a way that not many other people have, and I still don't quite understand it, and works extremely hard to get our show to be a thing. And we get off recording on Wednesday nights, and by Thursday morning, he has edited the show so our patrons can have it. And yeah, he is one of the best guys I know and have ever met. And he, the fact that we met over the internet is very interesting, and I still laugh about it to this day.
Yeah.
Because it was just a random message. Hey, man, you want to do a Star Wars podcast? And he's become one of my closest friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Crazy. Like, yeah, it's literally you guys were on some message board, and it was just you guys decided to do this podcast together, and you never met.
He mentioned wanting to start a Star Wars podcast, and I'd been wanting to start one for a while. And so I just messaged him out of the blue. I'm like, hey, man, you want to start a Star Wars podcast? And two years later, here we are.
There you go. Now you're Ash from the Skyhoppers. You're no longer Ash
I'm no
from
longer
New Mexico,
just,
or
yes.
you have a thing that hangs over you now. I think, and again, this is a different roundtable because it's just literally a one-on-one interview. It's like a peek behind a curtain, and we're taking a peek behind Skyhoppers and podcasting in general. And that's why when we have the roundtables and we get listeners on, it's exciting because they see what it's like. They see what we do before we record. They see what we do after. They see how how conversation flows and how they basically get a taste of how it's done. And that's what we're doing here. We're pulling back the curtain and saying, this is Ash from the Skyhoppers origin story type thing. What are they doing? And I think once you have a podcast and you're in this thing, it's especially when you start being recognized at places like Celebration, and maybe it's because you're wearing your t-shirt and they know of your show, but either way, somebody knows of your show. Wait, what? Like,
yeah, it's, I met somebody at Celebration who knew who I was kind of like tangentially. And, or, oh, I know you from Twitter. Like, I went to AwesomeCon earlier this year.
Right.
And I met a bunch of people who I had only previously interacted with through Twitter. And now they're, they're really good friends now. Yeah. And it's just amazing how this, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, if I would be doing this, if I would be talking to somebody I had met on the internet over a voice call, I would have said, because I have really, really bad social anxiety, and podcasting is one of the things that has tremendously helped me with this. I would have said, no, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
So it's had this incredibly positive effect on my life, not only because of the people I've met, but just me in general. It helps so much with my mental health, and just getting just simply having something to do helps so much with mental health. It's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it's helped with just so many different things and given me so many experiences that I never would have thought I would have had and opportunities I never thought I would have had. So yeah, podcasting's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Right. And it gives you this weird thing about, I was recognized when we were in Celebration, I was recognized, but the person didn't want to approach me because I was in the bathroom. You mean, well, the washroom or whatever you call it. Like, so I was in the washroom and I messaged me later or messaged like my show and saying, yeah, I saw Rob, but I didn't think it was appropriate because I'm like, well, thank you. You're right. But then again, if he was a fan of my weekly show, he would have been, yeah, it's just, it is what, you know, it's one of those things. Or you get asked, where's Roman? Like when I was at San Diego, or you get asked, well, where's Ben? Well, we're co-hosts. We're not married.
We also live in different parts of the country too.
Exactly. Yeah. And even Roman lives 40 minutes away from me, but at the same time, like, no, we don't travel together. Like we don't, we've been great friends for 35 years or whatever, 30 years, but it's just like, it's because doing a podcast, you become this thing to people because they're literally, especially when they subscribe and they listen to every show, you're in their head like an hour a week.
Yeah. It's,
it's an honor really.
Yeah, it's this really interesting thing that I've noticed when I listen to podcasts that I didn't necessarily think applied to me until it started coming up in conversations with listeners, particularly like our patrons on Discord, our Discord server for our Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
Where it's like these people probably know me pretty well, despite the fact that we've never had a verbal conversation.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that way. And I think that about some of the podcasts with people I've never interacted with in my life. It's so the craziest thing that probably happened at Celebration, and it's happening now, is we met a podcast that we were fans of.
Yes.
That were doing like a live recording, and we were the only ones there. It was Rogue Podron. I'm wearing a Rogue Podron t-shirt right now, actually. So I'm not a fake fan. And now we're staying with them at Celebration.
That's fantastic.
And we're like friends with them. It's crazy. This entire experience is kind of blown my mind a little bit.
It's a weird thing. When I was in San Diego, I caught up with Steel Saunders and who was Brian Young from Full of Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the second time I met Brian, but I met him in Orlando. It's weird when you see these people like around. It's like, and some of these shows are huge. Like, and we're talking massive downloads, and they can literally make careers out of it. Like, look at Amy Radcliffe. She just recently released a book with Delroy for Star Wars. And she was a podcaster and then got in and started hosting panels and doing all sorts of, it's just amazing what fans, they actually, it's almost like interning. Podcasting is like interning for Star Wars.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Earlier this year, I was on a panel talking about women in Star Wars with E.K. Johnston. And for those of you who don't know, she wrote Ahsoka.
Right.
And that was a crazy, surreal experience. And I got her to laugh once, and that was my big accomplishment. Excellent. Of the week.
And that's another thing too about podcasting too. It opens up a whole, because normally, and it's not a male or female thing, but have a female fan of Star Wars was an oddity, but it's not. It's just an oddity maybe around where you are. There's just as many female fans of Star Wars where it's like, oh.
And there always has been.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think the culture has kind of shifted in a way that encourages more women to be open about the fact that they're fans of stuff.
Yeah, open Star Wars. Exactly. And there's been just as many, except with the internet now and podcasting, you get to see it. It's like, here it is. It's not a Star Wars isn't a dude thing, or it's not, oh, she likes Star Wars, she's cool. Well, no, that a lot of women do. Like, don't, like, it's not let's not complicate this. It's Star Wars. Awesome. You know what we're gonna wrap it up. This is just a nice short show, just introducing Ash from the Skyhoppers and kind of hopefully introducing people that listen to TSW to the Skyhoppers and vice versa. We'll do some cross promotion. And of course, setting up, we're gearing up for Celebration in April. That's coming sooner rather than later. So hopefully we'll get a few more hosts that are going to Celebration and everybody can get a nice taste and we can go to Lucasfilm or the Celebration coordinators and say, hey, look at all these great shows we have. Why don't we do a panel? Come on. Come on. And actually that's what we're trying for. And we've already discussed this. Ash, you're the one that would head that panel. We were talking about that.
Yeah, I think that's what I wasn't entirely clear, but yes. I think that was the plan.
Yes. It's great because then I can represent TSW, and I don't have to be the roundtable guy.
You don't have to be the moderator. Yeah,
exactly. It's great. It's like my show podcast, but I don't have to do it. It's great.
I will say, as a podcaster, there's nothing I appreciate more when I don't have to worry about recording, moderating, asking questions, keeping the conversation, when I can just kind of sit back and be like, okay, I'm just going to talk for a little bit, you know?
Awesome. And okay, so last thing we're going to do, let everybody know where to find you. Let everybody know about the Discord and I know you have some live events coming up. I'm not sure if this will come out before the 10th, but you're going to plan to do that monthly, I believe. But all your patron stuff. Just now's the time. Let everybody know.
Well, you can find the Skyhoppers podcast wherever podcasts are found, really. And you can check us out at Twitter, which is at SW Skyhoppers. And we're pretty active over there. If you want to talk to us about anything, that's probably the way to do it. We have a Skyhoppers Patreon, which we've recently just kind of revamped. And we're doing over there, you get access to the show a day early, access to a beautiful hot mess of a Discord server that Mr. Rob Cast is actually in. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good time. There's everything from like memes to genuine, like thought out Star Wars discussion. And you also get access to like the show a day early. And we do Skyhoppers live streams. That's going to be a monthly thing where we're going to do a live recording of the show, interact with the chat. Do stuff like that, and hopefully that'll be really fun.
Our first
live stream is going to be Wednesday, October the 10th.
This might come out just after, but like I said, but it's going to be a monthly thing.
It's a monthly thing.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that's it as far as Patreon. I'm also on a couple of other shows. I'm on a show called The Safari Zone, which is a Pokemon podcast. So if you're interested in Pokemon, and I have another Star Wars show called Starships, which is about romantic relationships in Star Wars. And that comes out once a month, and that's on the Clashing Sabers network. It's on a rival.
We're not rivals.
Not rival. That didn't come out right.
A different network.
I also do a little writing for butwhythoughpodcast.com, which everything from like Star Wars to video games to movie reviews and stuff like that.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And again, I can speak from being a member. I am a patron and I am part of the hot mess. I'm probably more of the mess than hot, but it's a great time. And sometimes you'll pick up your phone or your iPad and you'll be like, oh, I missed 82 messages because somebody fell on a thought and it just... The conversation goes.
I feel like I'm never a part of the quote unquote important conversations because everybody is talking about it when I'm working or doing something.
Yes. And if you want stupid memes like Yoda taking selfies in the mirror or stuff, that's where I come in. I just
even not Star Wars related memes, just stupid memes.
Yeah, just stupid memes. I'm just like, oh, here's something stupid. There you go, everybody. Enjoy. So awesome.
Yeah, so that's Patreon. I don't know if I said this. That's patreon.com/theskyhopperspodcast.
Perfect. All right. So there's Ash. And also, too, if the plan is if anybody wants to meet up with anybody from the Commonwealth, I know Ash for sure. You're going to be at Celebration. So if you're digging this conversation and you're digging the Skyhoppers, you'll send us a message. We'd love to meet all the fans of the or I don't like fans. We're listeners of the network, you know, because we're fans of them, too.
Yep.
So awesome. Again, Ash, thank you very much. Don't worry. Ben is not off the hook. He's going to get one of these, too. And that should be a good time.
I look forward to it.
I don't know if I know Ben's comfortable on the round tables when there's more people in the room, but if we're just one-on-one, he might be, he might, It'll be
fun. Who knows?
Awesome. So until the next roundtable one-on-one or retrospective, I'm Rob Cast.
I'm Ash.
And we'll see you next time. Later. We'll be right back.